Our scripture reading today comes from 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 24. Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered the ravens to feed you there." So he did what the Lord had told him. He went to the Kereth Ravine, east of the Jordan, and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, 'The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land.'" She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Sometime later, the son of the woman who owned the house became ill. He grew worse and worse and finally stopped breathing. She said to Elijah, "What do you have against me, man of God? Do you come to remind me of my sin and kill my son?" "Give me your son," Elijah replied. He took him from her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his bed. Then he cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought tragedy upon this widow I am staying with by causing her son to die?" Then he stretched himself out on the boy three times and cried to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this boy's life return to him." The Lord heard Elijah's cry, and the boy's life returned to him, and he lived. Elijah picked up the child and carried him down from the room into the house. He gave him to his mother and said, "Look, your son is alive." Then the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." Our second reading today is from Luke 4, verses 14 to 30. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. As he stood up to read, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Jesus said to them, "Surely you will quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Do here in your hometown what we have heard that you did in Capernaum.' I tell you the truth," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown. I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elijah the prophet, yet not one of them were cleansed, only Naaman and the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way.
What is the most important thing that we should be doing in our Christian life? The answer is worship. Worship is the top priority of the Christian life. Jesus said that the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What God considers to be worship, however, is not always what we consider to be worship. God said we're supposed to bow down. God said we're supposed to lie prostrate. We're supposed to fall down on our faces before Him. We're supposed to give glory, honor, and esteem. We're supposed to kiss Him unconditionally, and we're supposed to serve Him. God gives a number of gifts to His people to worship Him. And I believe that the greatest gift that He has given to us is the gift of music. Through music, we can worship God with our emotions. We can worship Him with our minds. We can worship Him with our spirits. And we can even worship Him with our bodies. God responds to music offered to Him in worship. God has been known to reveal Himself through the music of worshipers. In 1 Samuel, we find Saul, for instance, who was the first king of Israel, who was anointed by the Holy Spirit of God when he heard the prophets singing and playing their instruments, and later was tormented by an evil spirit. And David came and played his harp, and the evil spirit departed from Saul. In case you have been absent, you have just had a review of the last 5 or 6 messages on the subject of worship and the phase we're in now, music in worship. Today we're in part 3 of music in worship, and we're going to be looking at the prophet Elisha. Now we've been looking at the prophet Elijah. What an incredible man of God was Elijah. The Spirit of the Lord was upon Elijah. Miracles worked through Elijah. Jesus said, Who do people say that I am? Some say that you are Elijah. What an incredible, exciting, powerful story is the story of Elijah. But in order to appreciate Elisha, I want to give a little background before I come to the subject of music in worship in Elisha's life. Background on Elisha. God told one of the greatest patriarchs of the Old Testament, Elijah, that he was to anoint Elisha to be his successor. In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. What does that tell us? 12 yoke of oxen. Elisha came from a wealthy family. He had money. He had a farm. Money does not buy holiness. Money does not buy an anointing from God. Sometimes we act like it does, but it doesn't. Now let's continue in 1 Kings 19. Elijah went up to Elisha and threw his cloak around him. What does that mean? Elisha knew immediately what that meant. That was like putting on the graduation gown with the stripes on the sleeve that says you are now a doctor. It was a cloak of authority. It was a cloak of anointing. Elisha then left his oxen and he went after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah, replied, "What have I done for you?" What was Elijah saying? "I'm not the one anointing you, Elisha. That anointing comes from someone far above us. It comes from Yahweh. It's God who has chosen you, Elisha. But you need to make your own decision. What are you going to do about this? Are you going to accept God's call on your life or not?" Have you ever felt God's call on your life to do something or not do something or go somewhere or be something? Have you ever felt that call on your life? And you've struggled with what you're to do? "Lord, what is your will? What should I do? What should I do?" You have to make a decision. Are you going to follow him or not? That's a heady question. Some of you have been in that position and you understand it. Some of you are probably there right now. But my friends, if you're not there, you will be. Wanting God's guidance in your life. Continuing. So, Elisha left him and went back. He left Elijah and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and he slaughtered them. This is his means of making a living. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people, and they ate. This is his means of a livelihood. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his attendant. How would you like to be the attendant of one of the most spiritually anointed prophets of the Old Testament? Elisha made a decision. He followed God. And the next time we read about Elisha is he is accompanying Elijah in Jericho just before Elijah was taken up into heaven. Elisha would not leave Elijah's side. The two of them separated from the group, and they were walking by the Jordan River. And those of you who have been to the Holy Land with me, and who have stood on the ruins of ancient Jericho and have looked over that valley, you have seen the Jordan just beyond that area. That's where it took place. Is that in your mind's memory right now, those of you who have been there? If not, if you have not been there, oh, we have to go. I'm planting a seed. Now we come to 2 Kings chapter 3. And this is the scripture that I'm going to be developing more. But first, background in verse 4. Now, Meshah, king of Moab, raised sheep. That's what he did. He raised sheep. And he had to supply the king of Israel with 100,000 lambs. That's a lot. And the wool of 100,000 rams. But after Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. And that did not go down well. The king of Israel did not like that. So he mobilized his army. "I'm going to go after the king of Moab." And not only that, he mobilized the armies of two additional kings. The king of Judah, the king of Edom. And he asked them to join him in attacking this rebellious king of Moab. Three kings, three armies against one king, one army. Those are good odds. They're feeling pretty cocky sure they're going to teach this guy a lesson. And they're marching into battle. But something unexpected happened. The water dried up. There was a drought. The horses died. The soldiers began to mutiny. 2 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. "What?" exclaimed the king of Israel. You know what? You know a better translation of that word, "what"? "Oy vey! Oy vey!" exclaimed the king of Israel. "Has the Lord called us three kings together only to hand us over to Moab?" They're beginning to doubt. But Jehoshaphat asked, "Is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord Yahweh through him? An officer of the king of Israel answered, Elisha, the son of Shaphat is here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. Wow! Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. The word of the Lord is with him. What a compliment. What an endorsement. The word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat and the king of Edom went down to him. Elisha said to the king of Israel, this is not what they were expecting to hear. Elisha said, what do we have to do with each other? Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. Why did he say that? He said, you guys are guilty of worshiping the idols of your parents. Why don't you go ask the prophets of your mom and dad now? But now you are in trouble and you want to know what Yahweh has to say to you. Get away. Isn't that just like you and me? When there's money in the bank, when there's food on the table, when the body is whole and healthy, we often don't even think we need God. But when the challenges come, when the health falters, when there is no money for what is needed, when the relationships are broken, when the husband and the wife's bond of marriage falls apart, when the boss says go, when life throws challenges at us, we want to know what Yahweh has to say. We need a word from the Lord. Help me, Lord. Desperately seeking God's guidance. Is that where you are today? Is that hypothetical, or are you a person who desperately needs to hear a word from the Lord today? If not, the time will come when you do. It will come. Therefore, I want you to listen carefully to what this man of God, Elisha, said to these three kings. No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three kings together to hand us over to Moab. And Elisha said, listen, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve. Where have we heard the word serve in this discussion of worship? Whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you or even notice you. But now, bring me a harpist. Here is a prophet who asked Elijah to give him a double portion of his anointing. And he did. God gave a double portion of the anointing to Elisha. He could open the scriptures. He could pray. He could go to those around him. He could come to a worship service. He could seek a word from the Lord just by meditating. What did he say? Bring me a musician. I like that. Well, I'm a musician, you know, I like that. He said, bring me an instrumentalist. Well, I'm more of a singer than an instrumentalist. Maybe I don't like that as much. Well, wait a minute, perhaps you don't sing or play. And you're saying, this message isn't for me, it's for the musically inclined. That's not what Elisha said. He said, bring me a harpist. It's interesting, that's what the servant said to Saul when he was tormented by the evil spirits. Get a harpist to come play for you. When the harp plays for you, you will feel better and the spirit will depart from you. And that's what happened. They didn't have a committee meeting. For God so loved the world that he did not send a committee. They answered almost immediately, or Elisha answered almost immediately, bring me a harpist, as if to say, this is what I do, folks. I've done this before. This is what I need. But there's something else. Here stands Elisha, whom God anointed with a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And the phrase that sums up his description is, the word of the Lord is with him. And he said, I have a need. I have a need to be able to come into God's presence, and that need is through the element of music. 2 Kings 3, verse 15, while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he prophesied, and he told those three kings what was going to happen. If you want to know how that came out, go home today and read 2 Kings chapter 3. That's not where I want to take this. Here's what I want us to take away from this story. Is there anything in your life that is confusing you right now? Do you need to know God's will for you in your life? Do you need a word from the Lord in your life? Do you need guidance? Do you need reassurance? Do you need his direction for anything in your life? God sometimes reveals himself and responds to music offered to him in worship. He did it for Elisha. He can do it for you. He changed Saul. He changed Saul from the inside out, and he made him a different person when he heard the music. He did that for Saul. He can do that for you. He delivered Saul from an evil spirit when Saul heard David playing the harp. He did that for Saul. He can do that for you. God revealed his plans, his will, to Elisha the prophet when the harpist played. He did that for Elisha. He can do that for you. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Allow the music in worship to take you to a place that is not where you are right now. And listen for the word of the Lord. It pleases him. He reveals himself. He responds to that. He did it in biblical days. He can do that today. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we confess that we are lost without you. We're sometimes confused and afraid and bewildered by the events around us. And Lord, we so often need to hear your still small voice speaking to us and clearly giving us your direction, your reassurance, your comfort. Father God, I pray for anyone in this place today who is seeking guidance from you. May they hear your voice, and may they know that it's your voice. May your Holy Spirit move among us today, just as it did for Saul and for David and for Elisha. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord God, amen.